give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 26. Get into the groove. What's up, Internet? This is episode 26 of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, recorded on July 21st, 2015, brought to you by RayRay.net and the Happy Hour Network. I am that sexy party host, Ray Morality, but everybody except my family calls me Ray Ray. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, let me tell you something about it. I am mostly known for being an NBA blogger slash writer. I founded TheNoLookPass.com. This is strictly not an NBA podcast, but I will still talk a lot of NBA because, well, that's what I'm known for. But really, it's all about the fundamentals of life, and we will talk about whatever the heck we want. NBA, WWE, NFL, video games, Pitch Perfect, Britney Spears, stand-up comedy, etc. And we also have a couple of regular segments. First off, my friend Adam Jacoby is usually here to tell a story. We call it Storytime Adam Jacoby. He always has some sort of twist ending. And if you've listened long enough, you know what kind of twist it is. I also talk to my favorite group of women called the Gal Pal Squad, where I usually talk about various topics like fashion, dating, and people in general. And in a new segment that is debuting in this episode, I talk to EJ Christian of the Earnestly Speaking podcast called Kicking It Old School with Ray Ray and EJ, where we talk about something from the past. That's why it's old school. Duh. So, I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to bring in the Gal Pal Squad right now for a little girl talk. Let's talk deep, ladies.
It's Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad.
Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad. And I have my Asian gal pal from Clearing a Full of Shells, Laura Wong.
Hi.
What's up? So, as of late, I've been getting this term over the past few years, really. Because I'm still single, as everyone knows, and people always say that I get friend-zoned all the time. I do not like that term. I don't even like the friend zone or whatever, like whatever that is, because they make it seem like it's a bad thing. And I don't know, like you told me off record you don't like it either.
It's not one of my favorite phrases.
Yeah, like, see, here's the thing, like, they always say, and I quote, basically,
who is this Ray, they that you're talking about?
People, friends all around the place, basically. But they're always saying, Ray, you have a lot of hot friends. How come you're not with one of them? You always get friend-zoned, don't you? And I'm like, first of all, how do you know I'm going after all these women? And I am very selective on who I go after. And just because they're very attractive doesn't mean I have an intention to go after them, after every single one of them, you know? Like, it's okay to be friends with the women? I mean, that's how I look at it, you know? It's and they always say, oh, you just got friend-zoned. Like, maybe that was the intention to begin with. I wanted to be friends with this woman. Why is it such a bad thing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have an issue with it because, I don't know, it seems like there's a presumption, because I feel like it's mainly guys who use it in against girls, mm-hmm. and it seems like there's this, like, presumption that if this guy is interested in you, then the girl should reciprocate or something. I don't know, I find the friend zone, like, a really sexist and insulting term. It's like, no girl is obligated to like you in a romantic way. Like, we don't start by being romantically interested in you and then backing off and being like, oh, we're gonna put you in this friend zone over here. That's not how it works. Like, we're in the we don't know you zone, and then we'll decide how we feel later, you know?
And that's the thing, it's like, suddenly, like, every every single woman I meet apparently is like a candidate for to be my girlfriend. Like, no, no. It's like I just think, oh, that person's really cool. I want to be friends with her. I want to have, you know, I want to joke around with her, stuff like that, and just hang out, basically, you know. And then later on, I'll decide if I want to try to be with this girl, you know. And again, like, I'm not gonna make anything public here, but there are a few girls that I've gone after, and that I've told you about. And it's like, you know, it's not like I went after every single one of the women that I've just met. You know, it's like probably like, you know, a few here and there, but not like, oh, I met this girl, I'm gonna go after her. You know? So, and again, the friend zone is not a bad thing. They make it seem like it's the worst thing in the world. You know? Like, why is having a friend bad?
I mean, are they like When Harry Met Sally kind of people, and they think that men and women can't be friends?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been friends for like how long now? Like 4 years, maybe? Something like that?
Is that how long it's been? I'm not really sure. Are you counting back from when we first started talking on Twitter? Or?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's how it is nowadays. Like, we can be friends over online, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, just because we're friends doesn't mean it's like it's the worst thing in the world. I mean, I'd rather be friends than, you know, I don't know, enemies, you know? Like, I don't want the person to hate me.
Yeah. So,
and as far as, like, reciprocating, it's like, no, you don't have to, like, just because, you know, oh,
yeah,
he's a guy.
It seems like some people feel like, if we're talking about heterosexual men here, it seems like they feel like the girls they meet should like them or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to word exactly what I'm saying here, but
basically they have to
operate on this assumption that the girls should be interested in them, and that if they're not, it's a huge insult, and that's not really how it works.
Yeah, well,
I'm married now, but when I wasn't married, I mean, I liked whoever I felt like liking, or it just.
And that goes for, like, most of the guys out there. It's like, oh, the girl doesn't like me. Well, you know, well, she's a bitch, you know?
Yeah.
That's how it turns out.
I feel like that's kind of the thing. They're just like, oh, she just wants to be friends, what a bitch. And I don't know, I have a really big problem with that, because, like, we're not obligated to, like, give you anything in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I have a lot of women friends. I actually prefer to be friends with women more than men these days. Now, again, it's not a bad thing. I don't know how many times I have to emphasize this, but it's not a bad thing being friends with women. And obviously, it's not bad being friends with men. Also, it's like, don't you want friends? You know what I mean? Like, you can only get with one person. You'll be like, oh well. I don't want her to friendzone me. I don't want her to friendzone me. I don't want her to friendzone me. I want to have, like, Ted Kent. Like, I mean, it must be nice, sure, but let's be real here, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like people act like it's a demotion or something in some ways, I guess.
I don't know. And should we just come up with, like, a better term for this? Because, like, the friendzone should be, like, a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what word I would use, but, I mean, it's basically, like, she's just not interested in you. It happens. Get over it, you know?
Yeah, she's just not that into you.
And, like,
you.
Quite frankly, I think a lot of girls say that, sometimes girls don't even want to be friends, but they say that because they're trying to be nice.
Right.
And then also just because, like, I think women have to worry more about, like, their safety and things like that, so they try to be nice out of concern for that.
Yeah.
But, like,
so,
it's just sometimes we're just not interested. It's just the way it is. Are you interested in every girl that you meet? I don't think you are, so.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And that's what gets me. It's like, again, oh, Ray, you have a lot of hot friends. That doesn't mean I'm interested in every single one of them, you know? I have some really, really attractive women friends, but, like, I don't click with all of them, you know? There's just some where it's just like, oh, I mean, she's gorgeous, but, like, it just wouldn't work in a relationship, you know? Cool friend, but as far as more than friends, it just wouldn't work. So, and that's okay, and that's acceptable, and people have to know that's acceptable, So, I don't know. I feel a bit assaulted that, like, that getting friend-zoned is, like, a bad thing. It's not. It's, yeah, and we have different reasons why we hate the term, but I guess we can both agree to that sort of thing, right?
That we both hate it? Yeah, I guess.
That, yeah, for different reasons. Like, I agree with you that, yeah, they shouldn't have to reciprocate, and you agree with me that, like, I, like, being friends isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that too, I guess.
I mean, come on, like, I'd rather be friends than enemies, right? Like, you know, if I go after someone, like, the next best case scenario is to be friends with the person,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, I guess some people obviously don't think that way because they think that being friends is stupid and it sucks and the girl's a bitch. I don't know.
Yeah. Basically, it's all or nothing, right, for some guys.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I want it all or nothing at all.
Oh, you're okay. Singing now. Oh.
I'm singing, so that must mean we should end this
segment.
I didn't know, right?
That we were doing that today.
This is Dave McMenamin from ESPN, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Our guest for this podcast is Anthony Irwin, who is one of the co-founders of Lakers Outsiders. He also does work for Lake Show Life and Forum Blue and Gold. We talk NBA Summer League. We talk about the NBA blogging community and boy bands because, duh, scratch. Episode 26 of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. I'm Ray Ray, joined by Adam Jacoby, the greatest storyteller of all time. What's up, Adam?
Not a whole lot. Just talking hoop. Like, my name was Zach Harper.
And on the line, one of the founders of Lakers Outsiders, and he also does work for Lake Show Life and Forum Blue and Gold, Anthony Irwin. How's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm just really excited to catch one of these Adam Jacoby stories firsthand. This is a bucket list moment for me.
Let me tell you something. It is the worst thing ever, and I've faced this thing like 25 times already in – maybe not 25, but something like that. But yet something else when you hear instead of reading it. So you're in for a treat. So guys, just surfing through the internet, and I just found this little article about the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC teaming up for a zombie Western film. Mm-hmm. What the heck?
That's true.
I don't. Yeah. Right. I mean. This is gonna be one. This is gonna be like a classic, like the Sharknado trilogy, basically.
I think it's a logical career progression. You know, you get famous, you make platinum albums, mm-hmm. you ride that train for as long as it goes, and then you know, Western horror movies. That's where you go with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, to a certain extent, wouldn't it be kind of a biopic? I mean, they're kind of coming back from the dead after they kind of fell off for a bit, right?
You know, it's funny because, like, I'm probably the only one that keeps up with this, but Backstreet Boys have been making albums still, but no one cares at this point. It's just that they're
are
making
they really?
Music. Yeah, exactly. See? Adam doesn't even know. But
no, I legit had no idea.
They were still making music, yeah. NSYNC, not so much, obviously, because Justin's, you know, having a career. But BSB, they've been making music. And they've been having concerts of New Kids on the Block and all that stuff. So, yeah, I know this stuff. But now they're doing a Western. I don't know. I guess this is going to go to the Sci-Fi Channel or something, or maybe straight to DVD. I don't know.
Straight to YouTube. It has to go straight to YouTube. Yeah, that's the only option.
Yeah, exactly. Like, man, so they've come quite a long way. But let's just say that, as I mentioned, Justin's having a career, so I don't think JT's going to be in this.
Which is unfortunate. I mean, if I was his agent, I'd steer him towards this project. There's no way this goes wrong.
Besides, what is he doing anyway?
Let's also be clear about this. He was doing SNL skits like, am I allowed to say dick in a box? Because that's what he
sure.
was doing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, like, let's not pretend that he's somehow above this. If anything, he should be like the main evil zombie lord. Like, and you don't even see him until like 20 minutes left in the movie. Like, that's the big swerve. Is that they're like, oh, here's the boss, and it's JT with like half his face rotting off, like CGI. I am not advocating that we take half of Justin Timberlake's face off. I'm not.
I mean, it'd be more interesting. The headline would be bigger if he just went full bore with it. No.
Right. Exactly. While we're at this, what's 98 Degrees doing right now? What's Old Town doing at the moment? Heck, I know Nikki's on the Block has had concerts recently, but what are they doing? Like, why can't we just put all the boy bands? Heck, throw in Boyz II Men.
Sure.
In One Direction, why not? Like,
yeah. One Direction minus that Zayn guy or whatever. Is that the guy that left? I have no idea.
Yeah, but LFO is not invited. No.
Oh, man. Can we throw in some girl groups, too? What are the Spice Girls?
Spice Girls.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, why not, right?
I mean, all these bands would get some viewers, right? I mean, all of the teens from our generation might be interested in this kind of project.
Mm-hmm. Would this turn into a musical if we have everyone in there?
Can zombies
sing? Certainly there would be dancing.
I mean, we've had it before with Thriller, right? Like a zombie musical. Like, zombies are cool right now, and musicals are kind of there at the moment, so why not combine the two things and make a zombie musical between Backstreet and Sync or whoever's going to be guesting in this thing?
So Pitch Perfect meets The Walking Dead, basically.
There you go. See?
Done.
Exactly. So that's why Anthony should be promoting this movie for them.
So, all right, everybody that I write for, I'm resigning, and I'm going to pitch this movie to everybody.
Exactly. See?
Breaking news.
zombie musicals. There you go. See, we got this made. Yeah, so... God, what are we talking about again? So, recently, we had the unfortunate experience, not really, to go to Las Vegas for some... awesome NBA basketball for Summer League. I believe it's your first time there, Anthony, right?
It was. And speaking of zombies, I've been in a haze ever since. I spent way too much time at the SB Nation house, way too many nights up until 5:30 talking basketball, and way too many walks of shame back to my hotel room. And yeah, sleeping has been fun.
Yeah, but you were only there for like, what, 4 days, right?
I was. I was there for 4 days, and I tallied out my sleep, and it came out to just about 12 hours. So
that's not a lot of sleep.
It was not. I've been doing my poor wife, you know, ever since I got here, just hasn't been able to lift me from the couch or my bed. It's just been one of those two spots.
Oh, God, I just thought of something. Never mind. I'm not going to say anything. Adam.
Whoa, what almost happened there?
I'm not going to say it. Adam, how come we didn't go to the Summer League? What's up with that?
Nobody actually wants me at the Summer League.
Oh, well, I do. We could have done a podcast there together.
No, are you going to pay me a salary to go there?
I'll pay you in like, I could have bought you food or something.
I have strong NBA opinions, but nobody pays for them. So I just inflict them on people on Twitter instead. But I mean, I feel like I'm right.
We saw the starters try their half court shots, right? No matter.
Oh,
you know,
my
we could have,
goodness.
We could have had Adam out there at half court just telling one of his pun stories to everybody, and it would have been more successful than those heaves from half court.
Oh, my God. Taz Mellis, all the gods bless you, but good sake, man. I'm not even close. And I love Taz, by the way.
He's never allowed to comment on toughness with players ever again, considering his half court shot landed at the free throw line.
Wow.
But was it online is the question.
I didn't have a proper angle to say if it was straight.
It could be. I don't know. Maybe some of the fans would have it on there. Adam, being a bystander, not that wasn't in Vegas, do you see any of the Summer League games at all?
I watch highlights mostly.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yeah, and you know, it's Summer League isn't for gleaning great impending truths about the NBA season that'll be. You know, just because it's not the important players playing.
Right.
It's, you know, but you get a look at the rookies, you know, the ones that'll be there in the future and the ones that won't and this and that. It was nice to see, some of the Iowa, boys, show off what they can do. Aaron White, who just got drafted by the Wizards, you know, Gabe Olushanie and, Roy Devin Marble, you know. So, that's been, you know, largely the focus of the local coverage here. But, you know, it's still competitive NBA basketball. It's not NBA starters basketball, but it's...
No, definitely not.
No, but it's guys who are, you know, all being paid by NBA teams. So, technically NBA.
Yeah.
So, that's fine. Like, there's no real... NBA, or like, it's not like there's a better basketball option right now, you know?
Yeah,
so it's a nice oasis in the off season.
Shouts to the WNBA.
Oh yeah,
gosh.
I mean, well, but you know, it's not as if they're all, you know, their games are front and center on television.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to watch as much WNBA as NBA. That'd be great. You know, hey, TNT, if you want to throw that on, I'll watch it. But the, you know, as an option, it's just not as readily available, even, you know, compared to Summer League, which is a bummer.
It was shocking how much coverage this year was getting. And I think it had a lot to do with how deep this last draft was and, mm-hmm. that the Knicks and the Lakers had some brand new top of the draft type of talent. The upper bowl or the nosebleeds, because so many people were there at the gym, right? That was pretty incredible.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's your first time, it's like you didn't know how it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It's my fifth time in Summer League, and I have never seen them open up the upper deck at the Thomas and Mack Arena. It was crazy. Like, it felt like a Staples home game, but I'm an organist. You know,
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah,
yeah, I believe it was a record crowd of 12,000 people on the first day
mm-hmm.
and 11,000 on the second day. And basically those crowds were made because the Lakers were playing. So,
right.
Yeah. And Las Vegas is essentially a Laker town, a Laker city.
That's what I kept hearing. That's what I kept hearing throughout anybody I was talking to, that Vegas is a Lakers town, which is fun. That was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And it's funny because, like, they were being booed mercilessly, too, on, like, I believe the third or fourth game
mm-hmm.
when playing really badly in the first half. They were getting booed. It's mm-hmm. like, dude, it's Summer League. <You know?
laughs> There's no booing in Summer League.
Oh, man. Yeah, they scored 5 points in the first quarter, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm not going to say they deserve to be booed, but. You know, when the team was being hyped the way they were, I guess you could kind of sort of... No, you can't understand it. I agree with Adam. There's no booing in Summer Lake.
Yeah,
even when they hit the single-digit warning. Yeah, you can't you can't do that.
They made it halfway to double digits, so... We could round up.
Exactly. So, really, they scored 10 points in the first quarter.
We'll be right back with more Anthony Irwin and Adam Jacoby after this break and after this song.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
Oh, my God, we're back again. Brothers, sisters, everybody sing. Gonna bring the flame, I'll show you how. Got a question for you, better answer now. Yeah. Am I your original?
Yeah.
thing about Summer League that some people don't understand is that it's all about seeing the young players develop instead of wins and losses, which is why I never understood the tournament format of Summer League. It's like, it was so weird to see a Sacramento Kings banner at the end of the locker room in the Thomas and Mack Arena, because like, okay, so they won Summer League they won the Summer League tournament last year. Great, fantastic. Okay.
When else are you ever going to see a Sacramento Kings banner, though?
Yeah,
true.
I was going to say the same thing. It was great to see that Summer League banner flying up above George Karl and Marcus Cousins sitting completely on opposite sides of the court from each other. That was quite the image.
The whole blimp that got so dangerously close to a lot of people too. It's like if it would have, that thing fell. So.
Trailblazers fans were pretty nervous in there, I imagine.
Yeah. Okay, who's after who now?
I got a siren in the background, sorry.
No, it's all good. Duck! No, okay.
I gotta run.
So, so the San Antonio Spurs, who basically win everything in the NBA, won Summer League this year. But here's the thing that we can't gloss over. Becky Hammon was coaching that team. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not sure if she's the first female assistant coach in an NBA team, but certainly the most high-profile female assistant coach. She's the first. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic news, because, like, that basically shows the world, like, hey, you know, a woman can be a coach in this league. And for her to win Summer League, while we joke about it, I mean, that's pretty cool that she did that, you know?
It was, I mean, that dominated the storyline, right? Coming out of that game, along with everybody saying, well, there go the Spurs winning something else. But
yeah, right?
it was really nice to see that, you know, it's anytime you hear these first woman or first, you know, anything of this type of nature, you almost kind of say, well, what took so long? But, you know, mm-hmm. Becky Hammon earned her spot. She seems to, she carried herself extremely well on the sideline. The little mid game, huddle, you know, clips that they were showing looked way better than Derek Fisher's "We wear the same shorts" or whatever. but yeah, she held herself really, really well. And that was really cool to see.
Yeah. I appreciated that right off the bat, she was, like, hey, please don't call me a woman coach. I'm just a coach, you know? And it was refreshing to, be reminded that, hey, you know, she's here to do a job, not to, be a super special, sparkly, different person. And clearly she did the job pretty well. What's disappointing but not surprising is whenever any news person has mentioned her on, like, let's say Twitter, there's, you know, that steady, you know, stream of replies like, it's just a summer league. It's nothing special. it's that dumb, predictable nonsense that, you typically get from the sexist losers. And two, it just makes me so, so excited for when Popovich retires and hands her the team. I can't.
That's what I am hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for, because I had made that tweet several times. It's like, I hope Becky Hammon succeeds Pop.
Yeah.
We get that Ettore Messina is in line as well. But wouldn't it be great if it was Becky?
I mean, why not? I mean, this is a trial run, and she aced it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Right.
I would say I agree to, you know, for 99% of what you're saying, but I would also like to see, you know, the hiring process take place so that it's not just, because otherwise you're lining, or the Spurs are kind of lining themselves up for the criticism of progress for the sake of progress. But if she earns her spot, which she's well on her way to doing, I don't see any reason why that couldn't take place eventually.
Exactly, like,
you know, but yeah,
that sound like,
I was going to add to Adam your point where I can't expect much from people who speak in the voice you gave them. on Twitter. From now on, anytime I get some kind of troll on Twitter, I'm going to pretend it's Adam speaking to me in that voice.
Yeah, exactly. They'll make it sound like it's hiring, have her earn her spot. And right. And we all mentioned that she is. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, because we know Ettore Messina is also on that coaching staff as well. And I want to see him get hired. So
sure.
Hopefully they both get head coaching jobs in the near future. I walked by Becky Hammon a couple times, and I'm surprised that I'm actually taller than she is. So I know she played in the WNBA with the San Antonio Silver Stars. And I just found out she's only 5'6". I was like, oh, okay. And that's pretty awesome that she's 5'6". That's the WNBA, whenever you play basketball, you're always going to be around, taller people.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to be an all-timer at 5'6" is fantastic. So.
Yeah, and I'll say this also about, hiring Becky Hammon eventually, being that it might be the Spurs, or that it looks like it might be the Spurs, mm-hmm. you're not going to get – she's going to get a little extra credit, in terms of narrative, that it's the Spurs. We just trust what they do. And I think that really mm-hmm. puts her off on the right start before she even coaches a game. And I think that really helps.
Yeah, exactly, because the Spurs, they're basically known as, the number one organization in the league. Mm-hmm. They do everything correctly. They hardly have any knuckleheads. They have Pop, the greatest, probably one of the greatest coaches of all time, and they have Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Kawhi Leonard. They just fill in those spots so flawlessly. If Chris Paul didn't make that shot in 7, we probably could be talking repeat with these guys, maybe. But they're just on top. They've been on top since what, 99, basically, right?
Yeah.
Whenever Tim Duncan got drafted, basically. And they've only missed the playoffs once, and that was when Robinson got hurt for most of the year. So they've made the playoffs, what, 20, I'm going to say 25 the last 26 years. That's insane. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So and all that winning and all that, culture kind of storyline aids Becky Hammon, to get off on the right foot. If it was, let's say it's the Knicks, I'd be really worried for Becky Hammon's future. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The horror. The horror.
That's the worst situation you can put her in.
Right.
The Knicks. Yeah.
All the bad things she would learn there. Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
And that New York media wouldn't be nice. I can't imagine that the New York media out there would be very fair with her. You would get a lot of that, progress for the sake of progress. News that sure will get a bunch of clicks, but it'll be pretty flawed reasoning.
Uh huh. And then I don't even want to imagine what James Dolan would say.
Oh no. Oh gosh.
Yeah, no.
Let's
not pretend that James Dolan would ever hire a female coach. I mean,
that's a good point. Too. Stay in San Antonio, Becky. Just stay there. If you're listening, just stay in San Antonio. Never leave.
I don't want to say that she will. There's no chance that she listens to this podcast, but there's this major thing. So, Anthony, your first time in summer league. What did you expect coming in?
To be honest, in the summer leagues that I've watched on TV, and the Lakers have rarely had. I mean, last year was the first year that the Lakers had anything close to interesting in the summer league, and most of those games took place in the smaller side gym. When I found out they're playing in Thomas and Mack, I'm like, oh, great. That means I'll get a pretty good seat no matter what time I show up for the games. Boy, was I wrong. Holy cow. the first game, we were sitting there and we had part of our view blocked by the basket. And then we said, all right, the next game we're going to get there an hour early. We had the same exact spot. So finally, the last day that I was able to go, we got there for a full game and a half before the Lakers game. And we had really good seats. And, I mean, everything that I thought, heading in as far as the hype and all that was completely wrong. In a good way, I would say, for the most part, also the people that were out there. I also got to give a shout out to all the SB Nation guys that I met out there. Everybody was incredible. The blogging community, you guys have been in it way longer than I have, but the blogging community is just so many really smart, funny, interesting people. And it was really cool to get a firsthand view of all that.
Yeah, I want to say my own experience as well when it comes to the sports bloggers, because I was in the anime community like a decade ago, and there's a whole lot of catfights going on there, especially for the cosplayers, because, you know, it's almost like a beauty pageant, because it's a visual hobby. They're cosplaying, so it's like they're always fighting over like who looks better and whatnot. I go into the sports blog community where there's really no visual aids or anything. We're just like writing and stuff like that, talking about sports. And there are some of the most supportive people I've ever been with, you know. So it was great. It's great to know people like, you know, Zach Harper, Adam Jacoby, you, Anthony, Harrison, Drew Garrison, everybody that I've met. Like 99% of the people have been fantastic. And I'm sure Adam can attest to this as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's been very nice to make as many connections as I have over the years. And the, you know, like you guys said, the level of support and cooperation is unmatched. And it's really the only reason I'm still going at it, is how much fun the collaborative aspect of blogging really is.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, Adam, I think go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that's, speaking personally, you know, that sort of level of collaboration is the only thing that's sort of keeping our website afloat, because at Blackheart Gold Pants, because we have half a dozen guys writing for us now that just started as fans and writing fan posts and everything, and they were so good at it and they wanted to do it so much, we're like, nah, come on aboard. Yeah, let's do it, man. So that wouldn't be possible if it were a toxic community or a, you know, that sort of me first, rah-rah, bogus stuff. No,
So we ran into a problem here. We started having crackling noises for the next 10 minutes of this podcast. You are free to listen to the next 10 minutes if you want to. That's fine. But you also have the freedom to go fast forward to about the 47-minute mark of this podcast, where there will be no more crackling noises. Cool, cool. Crackle, scratch.
With, rather than against, writers. And that the with happens a whole lot more, and I appreciate that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would say it's probably fair to assume that, like, the thing you missed out more by far is going out and actually meeting and talking to people versus the actual basketball aspect of not being able to go to Vegas, right, Adam? I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe one day I'll make it out there. You know, at the same time, it's Las Vegas, and I already get overstimulated by, like, the television and like watching ESPN for 2 hours. So I don't know if I could thrive out there, but it does.
Oh, who says fun. Who thrives out there in Vegas anyway? Like
Wayne Newton.
Point.
That's true.
Like, that's about it.
Want to share a Vegas story with us, Anthony?
Anything
memorable that happened there?
Anything memorable that happened? All right, so we were – Drew and I were walking around – Drew, I, Gary, Kessler, who also works with us at Lakers Outsiders, and then Harrison that's from Silver Screen and Roll. We were all kind of walking around the strip or whatever and, you know, just kind of just walking around, meandering – And we just realized, holy cow, it's already 4 p.m. So Harrison and Gary, we started walking. I don't even know what time we started walking. It was one of the days that Lakers didn't even have a game. Harrison and Gary went back to the hotel to rest because they're young and they don't have the toughness that comes along with you know, being Drew Garrison and my tough self. And we, you know, Drew and I just went back to the SB Nation house. And, oh, this also featured a stop where I made a drunk purchase of a phone case for $100 that my wife is still not talking to me about.
What was it?
Well, my phone was at 1% battery, and the guy convinced me that it would be able to charge my phone all the way back up to 100. And being so addicted to – oh, no, heck no, it got to like 20. when I got back to the SB Nation house, I had a nice text from Jen because my phone finally turned back on. And Jen, my wife, you know, hey, what's this $100 purchase at you know, whatever store it was? And that was a fun conversation. And then Drew and I proceeded to play the old version of NBA Jam. And again, looked up and holy crap, it's 9 o'clock now. And yeah, just
in the morning?
No. No, at night. So it was like 4 when we left the shift, and then it was 9 o'clock all of a sudden, and then the rest of the SB Nation guys show up, and then it's like, holy cow, it's 5 in the morning. And that pretty much sums up Vegas, where there are no clocks. So I guess it's illegal to have a clock in Vegas.
Exactly. There is no clock in Vegas. Oh my gosh.
We did have a nice trip to what was the place called, the little diner that we went to, Ray?
Oh, Skinny Fats.
Skinny Fats. And we I think all of us except Harrison live the happy lifestyle, and you ordered a plate called Buff Chicks, which, you know, again, yes. pretty much sums up Vegas to me.
yeah, Skinny Fats had a menu, a healthy side, right? Is it healthy side, healthy menu, whatever?
Yes, it was a healthy life and happy life.
Healthy life and then happy life, which is like the most fattening foods on the venue. So I decided to live a happy life.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Yeah, exactly. And I had a choice between naked chicks, which would be the healthy life, and buff chicks, which is like the, you know, fattening chicken wings on the happy life. So that was fun.
Yeah. The meal and the names for that stuff were pretty incredible. You know, we were tossing around what we were thinking about eating.
Yeah. Exactly. And I was like, I was talking out loud too, like the waitress had this funny look at me when I said, so naked chicks or buff chicks? And she just like looked at me like there's something wrong with me or whatever.
There was a strip club right down the street too, which made it even better. Huh?
Oh yeah, because we were joking that our friend Mark Gonzalez, who was a guest on this podcast once, like we were joking that he got stuck in that
was it Hustler?
Establishment.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Hustler.
I forget what it was.
Yeah, we were joking that he married one of the women from that establishment. So.
Yeah.
Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah. And like an underrated aspect of walking around in Vegas. Adam, have you ever been to Las Vegas?
I have not.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, when you go, an underrated aspect of walking or being in Vegas is just walking around, finding things that you know only happen in Vegas, and just, you know, taking a picture and saying just hashtag Vegas, because that there's so many things that never happen anywhere else.
Maybe Portland. Other than that, but yeah, that's how it is in Vegas. Man. You lose track of time, and it's almost like anything goes. You know, no international players or anything, Anthony, or anything like that, or anyone that you see. Maybe
we did meet Robert Upshaw. After one of the games, right when we got there, actually, Gary and I were walking into the arena, and Julius Randle was walking out of the arena, and we were like 5 minutes away from game time. So both Gary and I had this freak out moment, like, crap, his leg broke again. Not even taking into account that he wasn't limping or anything. So that was kind of, you know, that was kind of a freak out moment. And then the really unfortunate thing was that I sent out a tweet from Lakers Outsiders, at Lakers Outsiders, saying that Julius Randle was walking out of the arena and, you know, just what's going on here. And I don't know if you had any kind of reception inside that arena, but I know I didn't. As soon as we got in there and as soon as we got into the lower bowl, the reception just shuts completely off. So I remember going, logging back onto the Lakers Outsiders, and there was a good 15-minute stretch where it was a whole bunch of what? Oh my god, huh? And I wasn't able to reply to any of them because I had no reception. So I was like the anti-Woj, basically.
By the way, I saw Woj walk around like 8 times. Like, I ran into him that many times, and in an upset, he was always on his phone. So.
They need to remake Game of Thrones, and I don't know if you guys are Game of Thrones fans, but he's Varys, the guy with all the birds and stuff, right? Like, there's no other character he could play.
He's always walking around with his phone. Yeah, I remember shouting out loud. I was at near courtside and at the media section, and I'm just like walking through people, and I'm just like, man, there's too many people. There's too many tall people around this area, right? And then George Carl just looked at me and just cracked a smile at me. I'm like, what the heck? Yeah, that's good. Peja was there. Peja Stojakovic, Bobby Jackson, Omri Caspi, they were all in the area, basically. I just see Boogie in that area, though. Not surprisingly.
Did you, because Boogie was in the house, did you see Boogie at all? Because George Carl was sitting, I'm not even kidding, like the visual I gave earlier where you had Sacramento's Summer League championship banner was flying overhead.
Yeah.
And Boogie Cousins was on one side, George Carl was on the complete other side of the court. They would not meet him, not even lock eyes. It was kind of funny to see.
Well, this is probably like the day before they actually started talking. So
I don't know what's going on.
Because I know later on in summer league they started talking to each other, and then they said that they would make their relationship up. Which, you know, George Carl basically admitted that, you know, it's kind of broken right now. That's the first step of making up a relationship. You admit that there's something wrong. So
there's an issue.
Yeah, exactly. I would go on to more Vegas stories and everything, but I can't exactly tell them on this podcast because I would probably get killed. So, Adam.
I was going to say, there was a story that I wasn't in the car for, but it involved a crackhead at Carl's Jr. So that's all the information I can give on this podcast, but there was a crackhead issue at Carl's Jr.
In the past, we faced some racist taxicab drivers. It was amazing.
No. That's funny.
You should ask like Mike Prada or Daniel Burgi about that because we were all in the same cab. So that was fun.
We're taking another break, and when we come back, we have a story to tell you.
Hey everyone, I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome, he's awesome, the NBA is awesome, and you are awesome. Have a great day.
Life springs eternal on a garden neon street.
I've been thinking about the Game of Thrones thing, and I can't decide if Kobe is more Tywin Lannister or Cersei. But he's definitely a Lannister.
He's definitely a Lannister, that's for sure.
I haven't watched Game of Thrones, so don't kill me.
What if? I mean, because couldn't we also say that Dr. Jerrybus was Tywin, who's now dead? Spoiler alert. But like, wouldn't that work? And then, you know, that would make Kobe more Cersei, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. So I guess Pow is Jaime?
Oh, no. And then who, I mean, is Jimbus Tyrion?
Yeah, well, no, because Tyrion's actually good at what he does. yeah, that's a tough one.
So now I have the visual of Mitch Kupchak being little Tyrion Lannister. Which is pretty phenomenal.
I think we have to run with that. Okay, anyway. But
Go ahead, sorry.
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I want to do is have some pun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
story time with Adam Jacoby.
Before we take 45 minutes to turn all the Lakers into GOT characters, yeah. So, followers of my Twitter account know that I had a story about the European Union about a week and a half ago. And I, as a fan, as an enthusiast of international economics and politics, I spend a lot of time on the European Union, and it's really amazing how deep the culture of I'm totally blanking on the word here. We can edit this part out. It's amazing how deep the culture of corruption goes. Why, there was this one time when the ambassador from Spain was like, "Hey, I have this brand new study commissioned by this foundation, and we should all do this economic thing based on the study from this foundation." And you know, usually when a big player in the European Union says something like that, you know, everyone's pretty much in lockstep. But the ambassador from France was like, "Nah, hang on. That foundation that did the study that you're citing, well, it's run by your brother." And the Spain guy goes like, "Yeah, so what? So what's the big deal here?" And the France guy, the ambassador guy, he was like, "Well, you can't. I mean, this calls into question. You know, like, is this a conflict of interest? Like, who's really getting over here?" And the Spain guy was like, "Well, I mean, yeah, we're related, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. It's a very reputable foundation." And so that meeting adjourns, and the France guy, he's like, I'm gonna check this out. I'm gonna see that everything's on the up and up." And so he goes to this foundation, and it's in this seedy part of Madrid. I mean, there's some rough streets in Madrid. You guys don't know, but there are. and that was already sort of an alarm. You know, it's not where all the other, research places and lobbying places and all of those things. It wasn't around them. But it's a pretty big building. And, he goes in and the guy there, he knows who he is. And he's like, and so the France guy is like, "So what's with this location here?" And they're like, "Well, you know, we like to do our good research and stuff, but we don't want to pay the exorbitant real estate prices if we don't have to. And this was cheap, and so then that way we can focus our energy and resources on doing the good work." He's like, "Okay, that's good." And then the France guy looks over, and from one end of the building to the other, along the inside, was this like nothing but small lockers. And the guy was like, "Well, now wait a second, what's this all about?" And the guy says, "Well, that's for security, because you know we get high profile visitors in here a lot. But you know, it's a shady part of town, you know, the mean streets of Madrid. So, we provide these lockers for you to store your valuables and your jewelry." And, I was like, "Well, but why?" He's like, "Well, you know, we like to, work outside a lot. But we don't want you to get robbed, especially because everyone around here knows that, you know, it's nothing but VIPs coming around here. So we can go for a walk, and we don't have to worry about being mugged, because all your valuables will be safe here." And the France guy's like, well, that's kind of good thinking. There's a lot of lockers. And the Spain guy's brother was like, yeah, well, we have a lot of VIPs here. So the France guy was like, okay, well, here are my rings and my watch and my wallet. You can go ahead and put them in a locker. He's like, okay, well, we've got one just for you. It's got your name on it and everything. Sure enough, it had his name on it. So they go and they walk and they talk and everything sort of seems like it's on the up and up. The guy explains his research and everything like that. But you know, it's still not the best, in terms of, policy analysis and this and that. You know, it's average. And if the guy had a different last name, there's no way he'd be involved in any sort of, European Union business, to say the least. And so it's time to go back. And the France guy was like, okay, I would like my valuables back now. And then the guy, you know, at the research facility is like, okay, that's 50 euros. And the guy's like, what? Well, I mean, this takes up a lot of our space. And, you know, it's a very valuable service that we're providing for you. But 50 euros for you, that's practically nothing to secure all of your valuables. And I was like, well, this is super sketchy. You didn't tell me that you were going to charge me or anything like that. And the guy is like, well, that was my mistake, but either you're going to give us 50 euros or we assume possession of your valuables. I was like, wow, that's so corrupt. But he pays it because, you know, 50 euros is nothing compared to the value of what he had in there. So, and everybody always pays. That's how they get you. But it's, you know, it was another example of the ever-present corruption involved in the European international politics, as everybody's aware. And so the next EU meeting comes up, and the France guy's ticked. And he's gonna blow the roof off this thing. And the Spain guy knows it. Cause, you know, everybody talks to everybody about everything there. And so, but the Spain guy, you know, he was in charge of the proceedings. You know, he's the chairman, of the European Union, you know, that's totally how it works. And so, the Spain guy was like, okay, based off of the research from this foundation, we're about to pass this bill. And the France guy was like, well, now hang on. I've got something to say about your precious research foundation. And, mm-hmm. And the Spain guy was like, oh, okay. Well, you know what? You've got 15 seconds. That's all the time we've got for you. It's just 15 seconds. Well, as you can tell, this is a long and complicated story. And, you know, 15 seconds is you're not even going to start to tell all the story. So the France guy had to be economical with his words. So he gets up there and he taps the mic. He says, ooh, EU, the think tank's a wall-to-wall bling bang.
Adam.
Yes. Adam. Get buckets.
Oh my God.
Are we having pun yet? This has been Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Oh. I mean, I'm a pun connoisseur, but that's pretty well thought out, and the execution. Wow.
my God. Anthony, tell us where you can find your work.
I'm at thelakeshowlife.com. I'm at formblueandgold.com and lakersoutsiders.com. I can't promise anything along the level of quality as we just saw there from Adam now. So just stick with Adam. Although I do partake in punnery a lot, way too much.
Where are you on Twitter?
I am at Anthony Irwin NBA. Gosh. Adam, I do have a question. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say killed, but I get a bunch of eye rolls whenever I do the pun thing. And I did have a joke in Vegas that was, you know, especially eye roll inducing. And basically there was a street that we were on. The street we were on was Twain Avenue. And I said, it's pretty impressive that Mark Twain overcame such a tough speech impediment to be as successful as he was.
That's not
that bad, right?
You did a good mouth tweet. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take it. Anyway, thank you very much for having me, Ray.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for wasting our time, Adam.
As always.
Hey there, folks. It's your girl, Jackie Mesa Pepper from PepperOnSports.com, and you're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast.
We are not done yet. Here's a new segment for the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast. Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ.
New segment with the Star Earthly Speaking Podcast. EJ Christian is going to do a new segment with me called Kicking It Old School with Ray Ray and EJ. What's up, EJ? How's it going?
Hey, what's up, buddy? I'm actually, you know, it's funny. I'm actually on a 2-week hiatus from doing anything podcast related until the very end of July. But, you know, I'm making time for my boy Ray, you know, to do this. And kind of excited about this whole event we're doing now, this whole segment we're doing your podcast. Really, really fun. Not sports related, especially, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I just got back from my hiatus, basically. I just got back from...
You call that hiatus, but you went to summer league, bro. I got to work. Get out of here.
Yeah, but I didn't do any podcasting, and I thought I was doing podcasting, but I didn't.
You did other work.
I did other work, as in being at Vegas and watching some bad basketball and getting some shenanigans that I will not talk about in this podcast. But
You know what I'm doing in these 2 weeks? I'm watching Ally McBeal in 2 weeks. That's what I'm doing, okay?
What's wrong with Ally McBeal?
I love Ally McBeal.
What's wrong?
Probably the most underrated shows in the 90s. That's what I reckon. Maybe we'll do a topic on her one of these days. One of these days.
But right now you have a singer in mind for this segment.
Yeah, dude. I'm going, because it's weird. I've always been a big fan of hers. But for the last week and a half or so, you know, I love my Spotify. I've actually also checked out the new Apple Music app that Apple released recently, the iOS mm-hmm. update. For some strange reason, and you know how diverse I am in music. But I've been going through a big Madonna phase. Weird.
Madonna.
I love Madonna. But it's not even like Madonna, like her entire discography necessarily. It's really mm-hmm. specifically mid-80s. Not the late 80s, not the early 80s, the mid 80s. Like
mid 80s Madonna. So we're talking corny. Like Virgin Madonna.
Corny Madonna. Corny Madonna.
So why the mid 80s Madonna? What's up? How are you feeling right
know.
Now?
I don't know. I think with this hiatus, I have too much time in my hands, number one. I think number two, I don't know. I've been kind of going back into my archives, my collection a little bit, and mm-hmm. I don't know. Madonna kind of popped up and was kind of there for the win.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
I'm not even sure if like Madonna would be like one of my first crushes ever. Like I was born in '78, so by the time like a Virgin came out, I was like I was probably 5 or 6 at that time.
Yeah.
Material
that's
girl.
That's when I'm 84. So yeah.
Yeah. So material girl. Right? I know. Jeez. And back then I was like, what the heck is this Desperately Seeking Susan thing? And it was like Madonna also. It was like, you know, Like, and I was in the Philippines at the time, so I didn't get as, like, you know, much exposure to Madonna. Mm-hmm. But, like, but she was definitely, she was the one of the few artists I listened to back when I was, like, six or seven, basically.
She wasn't your favorite, though, but she was definitely one of the ones that will definitely, you know, if she's on, you wouldn't necessarily turn away from it. Here's the thing with me, though. I used to hate Madonna. I raised a kid. Madonna covered everything I couldn't stand in a woman. She was very, very, very loose and open and blunt. And this is back, no, this is not my, this is how I am now. This is me back as a grown Catholic kid, a Catholic school kid in the 80s, you know, and
right.
She drove on the MTV Music Awards, gyrating on the stage in 1984. I mean, you talk about an era where that now is like PG.
Uh-huh, right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Back then, and in the world, you know?
It was racy. So, yeah, it was racy back in the day in 1984. Yeah, exactly.
So, Madonna, I actually became a fan of hers probably in the mid-90s. Because I think what it was for me, I think by the Bedtime Stories album, where I really started becoming actually a fan on my own. And I started appreciating her art. Aside of all the controversy and all the other things that she does for attention, of course. But I started to like her music. Like, I really started liking music like independently in probably 93, 94.
Mm-hmm.
So
I couldn't escape Madonna because my sister was listening to Madonna a whole lot. Like Papa Don't Preach, True Blue, Get Into the Groove, La Esta Bonita.
See, that's the era I'm actually in. I'm actually digging the most, that True Blue album, 86.
The
stuff that's not really very popular, you know, the stuff that's not as popular as the stuff in the late 80s and early 80s and the 90s, of course, those are the things I'm actually really, you know, really having, you know, have a good time listening.
Yeah, so, give me your, oh man, this is going to be tough because it's Madonna, so, top three or top five Madonna songs in that era, the mid-80s?
So in the 80s, that's kind of easy. So, okay, first off, Like a Prayer is amazing.
Uh-huh.
That's an incredible song. The video, the whole nine, that's incredible. So there's one there. Let me tell you the one real quick. If I can pull this up real quick. And no, I won't pull up. I don't know why. Okay, whatever. Anyway. dude, I'm actually going to brain on this. A lot of these songs are like, aren't songs that are very popular, and these are songs that kind of like, eh. Like a Prayer is one, definitely. Cherish.
I love Cherish. That's probably my favorite.
I love the bass on that song. I know it's one of those things.
It was simple. Like that was probably my favorite Madonna song. Actually, was Cherish. Honestly.
Yeah. The next song, actually, you know, the song goes, "Giving My Love Over and Over." That one.
That one's
my top five. We're staying in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say Borderline's in there too.
Okay. Okay.
I love the melody in that song on Borderline. This is tough, actually, man. I mean, the late 80s song is pretty good too. I'll leave a four for now. There's one other song in there I can't remember. The first song. It's the first song on True Blue.
Oh God.
I have it on me. I wish I had it on me right now, man.
I Don't Preach?
No.
Or The Party.
Yeah. Where's The Party? Or the that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a five.
Yeah.
Wow, this is the worst podcast. This is terrible. Like, first time in this podcast or the segment and, like, do a dragon ass in the first, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, but it's okay because, like, probably most of these listeners right now, they probably don't even know about Madonna mid-80s, you know? It's like, God, that's a long time ago. Man. I remember like my sister had the vinyl for Material Girl, Lucky Star.
that's a dark horse there. That's a top six song, Lucky Star.
Yeah, Holiday, of course. I've heard like a couple of remixes of Holiday back in the day as well. Material Girl, obviously. Crazy for You was another good one.
It's another one.
By the way, can I
say to people too? Being a guy, liking Madonna does not make you gay. Can we like stop that whole thing? Seriously?
Look, man, everybody knows what my music tastes are. And at this point, it's like, I feel invincible when it comes to that. Like, no one has really, like, made fun of my music taste for, like, the past 4 or 5 years. So.
Right. Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. But when people, like, you know, if I tell somebody, oh, I love Madonna, I'm like, dude, are you gay? I go, no, bro. Like,
Madonna's awesome.
I'm just like
your
music. Is that okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Does that go for, like, the same thing? Like, hey, I dig Nicki Minaj's music. Does it make you gay? I don't know. Well, I like Taylor Swift's music.
Well,
does it make you gay?
She's terrible.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's a woman, you know? Like, what's wrong with liking a woman's music?
Well, I will say, if you like Nicki Minaj's music, that makes you terrible person in my opinion. That's me. I'm not a fan of hers. I don't care. People, my family love her. I don't give a damn. I can't stand her.
I respect what she's done. It's just not my taste. How's that? I'll go with that.
I'll go with the derriere part. That's why the word ends for me. That's it. Twerk.
Yeah.
The watch looking at twerk is one thing, but music, no. I'll give her this. Nicki Minaj is actually great doing some cameos on the songs. Her actual material stinks.
Okay. Let's go back to Madonna.
Yeah.
Live to Tell was another one. Express Yourself, obviously. Yeah, but I think, yeah, Cherish is definitely my favorite Madonna song. Of all of them, actually. Yeah, of all of them. Not even just mid-80s, like all of them, you know? Like,
yeah.
I love that song so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just simple. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Madonna, one of my first crushes, probably. I don't know if she was the first crush, but she was definitely, like, you know, a sex symbol in the... I guess in a way she still is now, but like, you know, but obviously back in the 80s, she was way more prominent back then. So
I will say this though, Madonna, though, me personally, I think her best work was Ray of Light. And that's obviously late 90s and 97, Ray of Light, the Kabbalah mm-hmm. movement, all that stuff, when she got mature and she went to become mm-hmm. more spiritual. She had her kids and stuff. That mm-hmm. album is incredible. Ray of Light.
Mm-hmm.
That happens to be my favorite album of hers. Of all, I mean, I remember getting that album back in the late 90s. I remember, like, burning that CD, like, literally worn out. Now, that's one of my favorite albums of that decade, to be honest with you. If I sat here and did a top 20 list of favorite albums of that decade, personal favorite albums of that decade for me, Ray of Light in the top 15, definitely.
Burning CDs! Oh, my gosh. I can't remember the last time I burned a CD.
Oh, my God. I can't remember the last time I touched a CD.
Yeah, right. Well, I still have CDs, but like, but the thing is, like, I haven't burned a CD in so long because we're all about like the iPods now, or even, you know, Google Play on our phones or whatever.
Here's the worst part. I probably touch more vinyls now than CDs. How bad is that? I'm a vinyl nerd, you know. But
what's wrong with vinyls though? Like, vinyls are classic, man. Like, Like, I'd love to go back to the Philippines and, you know, seek out those Madonna vinyls that my sister left.
Yeah, you know, I'll do that. I collect vinyls to myself, mm-hmm. but they're only – I like my vinyls for things I actually love. Like, they have to be things that are, like, rarefied to me. You know what I'm saying? I would buy old-school Madonna vinyls. I would. I would do that.
Yeah, why not, right? I mean –
Yeah.
I am not going to make fun of people who collect relics or whatever is, like, you know – antiques, basically. So, you know, I'm all for, like, you know, people collecting cassette tapes or vinyls or 8-tracks or whatever, you know? So.
Right.
Yeah, so. Madonna, one of the greatest of all time when it comes to singing and being a sex symbol. And I urge you to check out mid-80s Madonna. Go to YouTube. Check out their videos. Check out those racy MTV performances back in the day.
Or at least activate your stupid little 3-month trial on your iPhone.
Exactly.
There, good taking.
All right. Thanks, CJ.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jamie Nagio from TWC Sportsnet, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
That was a huge show. Much thanks to EJ Christian of the Earnestly Speaking podcast for participating in this new old school segment. Now, I want to listen to some Madonna. Anyway, follow EJ on Twitter at EJChristian7. Also, much thanks to Laura Walker from the Gal Pal Squad. Follow her on Twitter at Stretched Octave. You spell Octave, OCTAVE. Thanks to our guest Anthony Irwin for providing us with some great entertainment for about 45 minutes of the show. Follow him on Twitter at Anthony Irwin NBA. You spell Irwin of IRWIN. And of course, the greatest storyteller of all time, Adam Jacoby, is on Twitter at Adam_Jacoby, JACOBI. As for the podcast, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rayray.net. There's a hyphen between the rays. You can also find the show on Stitcher. And this show is syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. I did a lot. My voice is tired. I don't know how to podcast anymore. But there should be another one coming up this week. Just don't forget, Ray Ray is fundamental. And you'll need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
Yeah, I feel like that's...
Hello? Adam?
Okay, good. It wasn't just my audio.
Yeah, we lost Adam.
Do you want me to talk about the
No. No. We need to get Adam back.
All right. Okay.
Hey, can you hear me?
Like I said, now I can hear you. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think my face hit the mute button in the middle of that.
Nice. Game over, yeah!
Moded.